prayer meeting night. So the subject is going to be prayer. Praise the Lord. Jack, would you ask a blessing on the word? Well, I think there's one thing that we would all agree on, and that is prayer is very important to the life of a believer. I don't think anybody's going to have a word against that. And yet, even though we all know that it is important in our life, yes, it is. Yet it is often neglected. Even when we have spent some time in the Word and study, sometimes prayer is neglected. Oh, we may say thanks every time before we eat a meal. We may say a pillow prayer before we go to sleep. And of course, we're going to pray in the time of trouble. But our lives should be bathed in prayer. We need to be in constant fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Constant fellowship with Him. As believers, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And I believe even more so, I think maybe you agree with me on this too, even more so because we're living in the last days of this church age. Things are getting rougher as we go along, isn't it? And this world, all we can say is, it's a mess. And it's getting worse. Yes. As Jack says, we're going to go up and leave them holding the bag. Yeah, you said that some time ago. You said, we're going to go up and leave them holding the bag. I remember what he says. Well, I reminded you, you said that too, huh? Well, we just read this last Sunday, the importance of putting on the whole armor of God. And let's turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, for a minute. Ephesians 6. And I read the whole armor of God last time, so I'm not going to read that all again, because you are familiar with it. And in the 11th verse, it says, put on the whole armor of God. And there's a good reason why we're admonished to do this, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And one very important piece of that armor is found in the 18th verse. It says, praying always. Did it say sometimes? Just when you feel like it? No. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for just the ones that you like. Ones that, no, it says for all saints. And what I get through the mail from the different works of faith that are in the different parts of the world, especially in Africa and Asia and even in Europe, there's a lot of suffering of God's people. And they need our prayers, and we should remember them in prayer. And we are admonished by the Lord to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Well, all we know, we don't want to go into everything, but our nation certainly needs prayer. Yes. Praise the Lord. And I saw this sign. It was a church sign on West Street, the Glorious Bible Church. And it says, I mentioned this Sunday night, but I'm going to mention it again. The sign says, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a prayer in life.
Amen.
You know, when we go to prayer and we're talking unto the Lord, we are humbling ourselves before Him in dependence upon Him. And you know, this pleases the Lord. Yes, it pleases Him. He wants us to lean on Him. He wants us to lean on Him. You know, there's a trouble, though. The trouble is that our natural instinct is to trust in our own selves. Now, I think if anybody denies that, you're not being honest. It's just natural with that old nature that to trust in ourselves. And as long as we have confidence in ourselves, our prayer life is greatly hindered. Amen? Amen. Yes, greatly hindered. May we seek the Lord more and increase in this matter, more and more. This is good for all of us. I don't care who we are. I don't care how long we've been in the faith. But increase in this more and more. It's not just that we will benefit from it, which we will, but so will our families. And so will the whole assembly reap benefits. Sometimes we have to think on those things. We will benefit, our family will benefit, and our whole assembly will benefit. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to get to something maybe we don't usually think about on prayer, and that is, we have a figure in the Old Testament that pictures or speaks of a special company of believers in their devotion unto the Lord. And our prayer life shows the degree of the devotion that we have to the Lord. I want us to go to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. And let's go to the 8th chapter first. The 8th chapter of Song of Solomon. In this 8th chapter, I want to read verses 5 through 8. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree. There thy mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be condemned. Praise the Lord. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I already said the Lord desires, He wants us to lean on Him. And this is a picture of those in this age in which we are living that trust the Lord completely, yielding to his words of love and putting him first in all things. Now, there's some special saints. That doesn't fit all saints, that description. This is some special saints. Putting him first in all things. And you know, the Lord drinks in this affection. Think about that. He drinks it in, and he finds it very satisfying. Let's go back to the sixth chapter of Song of Solomon. The sixth chapter in verse 4. And we see what he has to say in type here. Thou art beautiful, O my love. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that precious? Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 8 and verse 9. There are 80 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. But verse 9, my love, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her. Yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. See, there's many daughters, but she excelleth them all. And they are the choice ones because they love him supremely, leaning upon her beloved. Now, this isn't just one person. This is a company of special saints. And we love him because he first loved us. And we want to return that love. And that he drinks it in. Psalm 149, verse 4. Psalm 149 and verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Hallelujah. Yes. The Lord favors those that favor him. And he beautifies these humble ones spiritually. He beautifies them spiritually. There are many that we could mention in the Old Testament that stand out as special. We can turn to the New Testament, and there's ones that just stand out special. And when we read that about the Lord, he loves for us to lean upon him, and then this special group that leaning upon the beloved, it of course brought John the Beloved to my mind. We read of him in the Gospels that he leaned on Jesus' breast. You know, that was a lot more than physical leaning. All you have to read is his Gospel, and you can't help but feel his love for his Lord and Master. I think I will read from John 13:23. John 13, 13th chapter, and the 23rd verse. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Another one that stands out in the Gospels would be Mary, that she sat at the feet of Jesus and she was drinking in his words, his teaching. We find that in Luke, the 10th chapter. And the Lord says of her, she hath chosen that good part. And then we read of her at another time that she anointed his feet and she wiped them with her hairs of her head. And that's in John, the 12th chapter. And then we read of Mary Magdalene in Luke 7, that she washed his feet with her tears and she kissed his feet. These are ones that stand out special in their love of their Lord. And that's just a few from the Gospels. I'm sure there's many more. And then you go to Paul's epistles and there's all kinds of ones that we could mention. But I want to read about these special saints when they get to heaven, and John saw them in a vision, prophecy visions, and let's turn to Revelation. Let's turn to the 5th chapter of Revelation. I'm talking about these special ones that love him supremely. They certainly keep in contact with him in prayer. Oh, and they trust him, believe him, put him first. And we see these overcomers, especially I want to read 5:8, the 8th verse of chapter 5. And when he, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, had taken the book, now this we know later, this was a book of judgments. It had seven seals that are opened up. But he takes the book, and we see four living ones and 24 elders there in the throne room. This is the throne room we're reading of here. And they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Yes, to sing his praises. And golden vials or bowls full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. These full overcomers have arrived first in heaven. We know by scripture that they were kept out and of the tribulation and they were taken up before it even began. And they are privileged to be in the throne room and to witness the Lord Jesus Christ's worthiness to take the reins of government of the heavens and of the earth and to judge this earth and the unbelievers. And he takes the book here, the book of judgments, and in the following chapters, which we can't read all of that tonight, we find these special saints that were privileged to be in the throne room, that they participate in the execution of the judgments at Christ's command. He's the one that is the judge, but they are there helping him and to judge this earth and the ungodly. Praise the Lord. That day is coming. And these full overcomers here, they're pictured in chapters 4 and 5. Full overcomers. And we see them as living creatures or living ones, and also as elders. So as worshipers, they are seen as the living ones, the living creatures. And they are seen as rulers, of course, under the ruler. And that we see them termed elders, sitting upon thrones around the great throne. And together as one, they fall down before the throne, worshiping the worthy one. Chapter 4. Let's read, start with verse 9 through 11. And they worship him as their creator, as the creator of all things. They proclaim his worthiness as the creator of all things. And when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And then they worship him because he has redeemed them. Chapter 5. Let's start with verse 9 and read verse 10. We see them here. We've already read verse 8. The living ones and the 24 elders. And they fall down before the Lamb. And verse 9, they say, and they sang a new song, saying, Worthy, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on or over. The Greek word there for on means on or over the earth. Praise the Lord, the Lamb of God. Yes, our Redeemer, the Lamb that God hath provided. I want to point out especially verse 8 again. And notice it says, having every one of them harps. Yes, to sing his praises. I think I already said that. And golden vials or bowls full of odors. And what's in them that gives forth this sweet smell? Which are the prayers of the saints. Prayer was their chief ministry while on the earth. And here we see them in heaven. And in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, I'm not going to turn there, but it tells us that their prayers ascended up as much incense in the nostrils of God. Now I'm paraphrasing it. A precious odor unto him, the prayers of the saints. And we know, too, by the following chapters of this book, that this special group who are under him but helping him, praise will be their sublime activity in heaven. Chapter 5, I'm going to begin with verse 11. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the living ones, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, yes, worthy is the Lamb. Oh, that's a wonderful chorus in the Messiah cantata. Worthy. Every time I listen to that, it just moves me. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four living ones said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
That we are, John's recording what he saw in visions, and here we're reading of it. That which is going to take place in the throne room when he takes his throne. Well, yes, as the Lamb. That's right. As the Lamb. You know, Jesus said in Luke 18th chapter, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's Jesus' words. Men ought always to pray. We read in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, we read there of Paul and Silas, how that they're in prison, they're in stocks, their backs have been beaten, and they sang joyfully and prayed with thanksgiving in that prison. And you know what happened following? The very foundation of that prison was shaken, and their chains fell off. Well, that's a wonderful deliverance that they got, but they already experienced the inward deliverance in their spirit, in prayer, and in thanksgiving and singing unto the Lord. That's found in Acts, the 16th chapter. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read two verses here, verse 6 and verse 7. I think all, maybe many of you could even quote these verses. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, when we give him thanks, when we're giving him our request, we're believing him that he hears and he answers prayer. Amen. We're thanking him. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, in everything. Take it to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yes, there's no need for us to be anxious. Just take our needs to the Lord in prayer, in supplication, and thanking him. And then the peace of God will fill our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. John Bunyan wrote, prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge to Satan. Praise the Lord. Prayer with thanksgiving is a spiritual weapon in this spiritual battle in which we are engaged. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to start with verse 3. 2 Corinthians 10, 3. For though we walk in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, you and I know some things. One of the things we know the areas in our life that needs correction. We're not ignorant of those things. We know the things in our life that needs correction. Notice verse 6. And having in a readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let us surrender to him in prayer with thanksgiving. And you know, just as in the natural, we need a good, healthy, balanced lifestyle. We should desire a good, balanced, healthy, spiritual life in prayer and in study of God's word and walking in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, this is ongoing. As we walk in the Spirit, every circumstance, every experience, every incident in our day can be turned into prayer. I'm going to finish with that. I'm going to end with that. Only thing I can say is Selah. This is good for all of us, you and me.